What is up, everybody? Mr. International in the house, and it has been a fun week. And sorry I didn't get to put a podcast together. And I noticed my subscribers are not coming in like they used to, so let's get back on the horse, shall we? It is Friday night. Good week. Hope you guys have enjoyed your week. So I'm back to the gym, which I'm glad to say. And yeah, my new project of starting a new law firm is coming together. Good energy attracts other good energy, and there's a fourth attorney that wants to join in the fun, and apparently he's quite a quirky character. I've heard stories of him pulling out a vape pen to start vaping in the middle of court, not even realizing he was doing it. So let's see where this goes. Now, one thing in starting a business is you have to be careful that there aren't too many chefs in the same kitchen, because I want to be in charge of creative. It is kind of my idea, but one of my friends is already like, "Oh, well, maybe we have to worry about this and worry about that with the website." And I'm like, "Well, let's not worry about any of that. Let me worry about that." So we'll see what happens. But good week, relaxing. Friday. I always try to keep Fridays calm. Highly recommend you guys do too. One thing you can do for yourselves is, don't check email after, like, say 12 p.m. on a Friday. That's always a big help, because you never know what email may come in or something that may upset you, and then you have to worry about it during the weekend because you can't really solve it in an afternoon. So it's good to just kind of, like, do a bit of work in the morning and then chill out. So that's kind of what my day was. But otherwise, a good week. The bathroom, man, is. I've crafted a couple of potential suicide notes about the bathroom. Well, now I'm like in heaven with the thing. It's not even done yet, but I have it rigged so that the lights in the bathroom, they have all these LED lights. They dance and change colors according to whatever music's playing. And I have Alexa built into the ceiling, so all you do is tell Alexa what song to play, and it's quite an experience. Let's put it that way. So. Anyhowzer, yeah, things are pretty good. Looking forward to a trip to Hawaii next month. That's coming up in less than a month somehow. And COVID seems to be subsiding, but then it's not. My friends in Canada are telling me that they're locked down again. So that's that. But in great news, fantastic news, Mr. Jelly. If you remember, I had to rush to take him to the vet last Saturday. He wasn't feeling well, and I was worried. He had some sort of skin infection where the skin was, pretty much exposed. He'd lost his fur on his inner thighs, and he had a huge bald spot underneath his chin and a hot, what they call a hot spot on his cheek from, like, constant scratching, and there was blood, and he kind of smelled a bit funky. I could just tell, you have a, your kitten is your baby. And if you're paying attention, you're not a mindless LA zombie, it's not hard to tell when something's off about your kitten or anybody's behavior. You can get these subtle hints. And so something was really off with his behavior. He was just really quiet and, sitting by himself. And, you can tell something wasn't right. Not even withstanding the fact that, his fur looked like a mess. So I brought him in last Saturday. Again, I'm in the wrong industry because all these vets were booked up for weeks, if not a month in advance. But I finally found a vet here in Topanga, on Topanga Canyon, rather, that was willing to see Mr. Jelly last Saturday. So the vet didn't take too much of a look at Jelly, but whatever. He gave him a couple of injections of antibiotics and the steroids, and I kid you not, like, one thing that shocks my mind with my kittens is how fast their fur grows. Because I could already tell within about 2 days, a day really, Mr. Jelly was starting to feel better. Like, he was still hiding a little bit, but I could tell, like, he was starting to look cleaner. And all of a sudden, his feet, which were, like, brown from bacteria or dirt or whatever, all of a sudden they were white again. And what blew my mind is within a day and a half, 2 days, like,
all the bald patches somehow were gone. Like his fur literally grew that fast. And now fast forward, closing in on a week, and man, he's like a totally different kitten. I'm so happy. He's active. He's really eating. You could tell he's feeling a lot better. And he's turning over, wants me to rub his belly, which is nice and clean now. So very happy about that. My only concern is I hope he, they gave him some steroids. I hope he doesn't get roid rage. Because he's such a nice little kitten. So let's fast forward to today. So interesting story today. Probably should have started with it, but this is what today's talk is really about. So I haven't talked about this friend very much to you guys, but I thought I might mention him today. This is a friend from childhood. I'm going to call him, let's call him Jason. I met him in high school, and we kind of hit it off a little bit. You know, in high school, I don't know, I should, maybe you don't know this, but when I was in high school, I was kind of friends with everybody. I had my clique, obviously, and that was a lot of fun. But in high school where I grew up, we all kind of knew each other because we had all kind of grown up together, and from different schools. But it's a small town, so everybody knew each other, even if we hadn't grown up in the same schools. When my second last year of high school, in walks this kid who from Toronto. And he's kind of like brash and, he's got a big personality and whatever. And he's from the big city. And so he, him and I kind of, we would talk. And when you're in high school, you don't filter people as well as you should, really, right? Like, you get to know everybody. And then sometimes there are people in your circle that you don't necessarily like or want to hang out with, but you're cordial and you talk with them and you're friendly with them. So anyways, with the Jason guy, him and I just kind of became friendly, and he was kind of a weird guy in his own way. Like, it was weird to me anyway. Like, he would show up to class. We were in a law class together, and he would show up to class with no pen, no book to write in, no notes. I'd met one kid like that before. His name was Eric. And I never quite understood that. Give me a second. So yeah, he was a weird guy like that, because I was fairly academically inclined. At least I would come prepared to class, I would do my homework, the normal. And so he always stood out to me. I'm like, man, who the fuck shows up to class with like nothing, not even a fucking pen to write? His grades obviously reflected that. He'd miss class, it was rare for him to even be in class. And I guess for me, meeting people like that was very weird to me. Like, it was interesting. I didn't look down on it. I just thought it was rather interesting because I didn't really understand how you could just show up and not show up to class whenever you felt like. For me, because for me, I took a lot of pride in always being at school, going to class. For example, in law school, one of my biggest accolades isn't really just my grades. My biggest accolade was that I actually never missed one single class in 3 years of law school. Not one single class. So, anyways, so this guy, Jason, we became friends, and he ended up dropping out of high school to sell Amway. And I thought what a brilliant career decision that was, because of course you want a brighter future, and it makes complete sense to ditch your education to get involved in a multi-level marketing plan. And I always remember he was really trying to, pitch me on it. And as I grew older and I looked back on all these little things he would do, as I grew up, I started thinking, man, what a fucking loser this guy was. But back then, I was an innocent, naive kid, and I'm like, not that I would ever drop out of high school, but here's this guy trying to convince me to join Amway with him. Everything about him was full bullshit, right? Like, not, like he'd show up to class with this, he wouldn't show up for like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he'd show up to school wearing a suit, thinking it was hot shit. And he'd be all about, like, yeah, he's joined this company. It's a billion-dollar company. It owns like a basketball team. And Everybody's like, "Oh wow, really?" He's trying to sell himself as some hotshot. And what I found fascinating is when him and his friend would call me trying to recruit me to do it, I'm like, "Okay, well, what's the name of the company?" And they're like, or even better, I'm like, "Well, what's their website?" And they're like, "Oh, well, they don't really have a website." And I'm thinking to myself, "Wait a minute. This is a billion-dollar company that you guys are boasting, and they don't have a website? Like, how fucking stupid are you?" So anyways, that was that. But we kept in touch, and life goes on, and we hung out a bit. And he was always trying to sell me shit and make a buck off me. But we were friends, right? Because that's what friends do. They try to make a buck off of each other. I'm being sarcastic. I'm just being, that's my frustration with myself for being so naive. So as time goes on, I go on to undergrad, and he goes on to not sell Amway anymore, and who knows what he's doing. But we got along, and he ended up coming down to Mexico and visiting me, and I showed him literally the time of his life, right? And I know it is because he used to tell me it was, and frankly, 20 years later, he would still talk about it all the time, all the stuff we did in Mexico in a short time. I mean, I was there for a long time, so I won't even start with the stuff I did there, but he would, I showed him a great time and whatever. Lo and behold, fast forward through life, I end up moving to Toronto where he's now living again, and we see each other sparingly. We talk all the time, but we don't see each other that much. And it was interesting, because I was maturing at the same time I think he wasn't. And as I matured, I would see the things he was doing, and I started seeing him differently. And that's what today's podcast is about a lot. It's about, seeing things differently as we mature, as we move forward in life, the things we see change. Even memories, when we analyze them, are no longer necessarily what they were when we were experiencing those events. So Jason's a great example. So let me dive right into the meat and potatoes so this thing doesn't get boring. So he used to do some stupid things. And I tolerated them forever. And in retrospect now, I'm like, why the fuck did I put up with that shit? Like, this is in high school. There was a casino in Ottawa. Well, just past Ottawa, called in a city called Hull. It was a casino. It was a big deal when they built it. There was nothing to do in Ottawa, and they built this casino nearby. So it was like the big thing. And I remember, it was a Saturday. He's like, "Hey, let's go, Mr. International. Let's go. I'm gonna pick you up. Let's go to the casino and whatever else." So I'm like, "Hey, that sounds like fun." I get dressed up. This is a Saturday noon kind of thing, and I could be doing a million things on a Saturday. Other things that I'd love to do, but hey, he invited me to do this, and he was gonna pick me up and whatever. So I get dressed up, and I'm waiting, and this is the day before cell phones are prevalent, so I'm waiting. And by the way, he lived. This is not LA, okay? He lived what was probably I'm gonna say 10 to 15 minute drive tops, right? And so I'm waiting, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. He never comes, never comes, never comes. I'm like, what's going on? I call his house a couple times, no answer, no answer. I'm like, what the hell is going on? An hour passes. I'm like, now I'm starting to get a little bit pissed, but I'm, having never been treated like that, I'm also giving what's called the benefit of the doubt to a friend, so-called friend, right? Waiting, waiting, waiting. My valuable, we talk about time all the time, right? My valuable time's ticking away. Could be doing a million other things. Here I am, all dressed up, waiting, waiting. My parents are like, why are you just waiting around dressed up? I'm like, oh, no reason, because I'm too embarrassed to admit that I'm waiting for this asshole. And I'm not making this up, man. 2.5 hours after this guy tells me he was leaving his house to pick me up, 2.5 hours, my phone rings. It's him. Guess what? "Hey, it's me, Jason. I'm at the casino. Man, I did okay on the at the casino. I was playing poker, and this happened and that happened." And I'm thinking, and I'm just listening to him. I'm like flabbergasted. This day and age, I would have been more flabbergasted. Back then, I was just like, I think more confused than flabbergasted. I guess this is the current version of me is flabbergasted. The version way back then is was more like confused. Because I'm like, wait, you were supposed to pick me up to go to the casino. But instead of picking me up, you told me you were going to pick me up, but you actually went straight to the casino. And I'm like, well, and if my memory serves me, I told him, like, well, wait, I don't get it. I thought you were coming to pick me up. He's like, oh, yeah, I am. I thought I would go there first to play a little bit, and then I would come and get you. And I was thinking, back then I was like, I don't know how I tolerated that. And I think I was just kind of like so pissed. I just said, you know what, like, I wasn't even that pissed as I wasn't nearly as pissed as I should have been, but I was pissed enough that I just said, like in a nice way, I'm like, you know what, it's too late now, like I've been waiting, man. Like anyways, I think I just canceled on him. And it's stupid for me to say I canceled on him. He basically ditched me, even though he said he was now gonna come get me. And I'm like, come get me, you're all the way in Hull now. It's gonna take you at least a half an hour to come get me. And then what, we're gonna drive back? Like anyways. But he used to do stupid shit like that all the time. And I would always put up with it. And so as time went on, I have so many stories that I'd be chatting your ears off. Maybe I'll do a three-parter on this one. I'll tell you more stories about this guy. But I finally, as I grew up, and he did more dumb things, and he was just lying all the time about everything. And in recent years, he'd start talking about how he'd be flying to China to cut oil deals, to sell oil, making it seem like he was making some multi-million dollar deals. And like, he was never making a penny, right? I don't even know who was paying him to go there or what illegal shit he was probably doing. But he's always just kind of like bummed off his mom. He's never like, I'm not here to bash him because this is about standing up for yourself. And keeping quality people around you too. But I just saw these behaviors, and as I grew up, I started looking back on how this guy was, and not just to me, just to everybody. And I kind of realized he's one of these guys that liked having friends that he could keep under his thumb, meaning if he couldn't manipulate you, then he didn't really have use for you, or like he would try to manipulate you to his advantage. And would kind of like guilt you. Like, so he would take advantage of people, let's put it that way. And a younger version of me, and arguably even the current version of me, but certainly a younger version of me was very easy to manipulation. And with me anyway, it's not that I was blindly like I wasn't dumb. Like I always knew what was going on, and when things didn't make sense right away, I'd be like, well, this doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just that I was so conflict averse. And always wanting to keep the peace, I would often just keep my mouth shut. I would stay silent when I shouldn't. When somebody would, kind of like give me a six for a nine, as they say, like try to rip me off, I'd kind of see it happen. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But I would be too chicken shit to call them out on it. And so this went on for a time with this Jason guy as well. Like, I remember once I had, he found out that I had a line of credit. And this is when we were. I was just finished school, and I'd gone through a whole bunch of stuff to start a business, and I'd paid back this loan. Meanwhile, he was like living at this kind of frat house, and it was a pigsty. Like literally, it was just a dump where he lived. His room would have like McDonald's wrappers on the floor for 3 months at a time. But anyway, this is in Toronto. But what would happen is, like, he would call me to talk and hey, let's hang out and whatever else. And anyways, he would never work. Like he ended up dropping. He was an undergrad in Toronto. He ended up dropping out of that. I don't know what on earth he would do all day. And he was too fucking lazy to get a job. And he's to this day he's too lazy to get a job. But he just wouldn't get a job. Like I didn't understand his mentality, right? So I remember I accidentally let slip that I had just finished paying off my line of credit. And this is after slaving away and working a full-time job and having a side job for my side business and everything. And all of a sudden he starts asking me if he can borrow $10,000 from me for my line of credit. And right away, I'm like, oh my God, why did I mention it to this guy? Because back then, I didn't know how to say no. A part of me would wish that in this day and age, he would ask me so I could, this version of me could tell him, fuck you. Go fuck yourself for asking me, you fat, lazy sack of shit. Right? But that version of me is like, oh no. I'm like, oh, I don't think so. I'm not so sure. Doesn't sound like a good idea. And he was trying to pimp on me that, well, I'll give you a bunch of gold jewelry that my mom gave me. And, you know, if I don't pay you back, you know, you can just pawn it off. And I'm thinking, and here I am imagining in my head, because, you know, the chances he would ever pay me back was like literally 0% or negative 100%, if that's such a thing. And so I was envisioning myself driving all around Toronto trying to sell shitty garbage pieces of shit jewelry, right? Like, and so like, but that version of me couldn't say no. Like, and I didn't, don't worry, I didn't do it. But what I ended up doing was like just starting to ignore his phone calls in subsequent days. And you know, he was calling more and more, and then he was starting to, like, his voicemails would guilt me, like, hey man, like, if you're ignoring me because you about the money, you know, you don't want to lend me the money, like, you know, just say so. And you know, in a very like guilty kind of, guilt tripping kind of way. And so you know, what an asshole, right? Like, go get your own fucking line of credit. And if you can't get a line of credit, then you're not credit worthy. And number one. And number two is, I just explained how I'd gone through so much working my ass off to try to pay it back. And as soon as I pay it back, now you want to fucking dip into it? Like, go fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was that kind of guy. He was always trying to take advantage of you. Or I remember once, like, I had a really bad day, but I had a lot of road anxiety back then, especially in Toronto. The drivers were as bad there as they are here in LA, if that's possible. And I just didn't want to be anywhere. Like, I just wanted to, I wanted to, I wish I was like, I would just want to sit with a friend on a Friday and drink, have a drink, you know, and that's it. Like, do what friends are supposed to do. So I was like, yeah, man, come on over, like, drive on over here and we can hang out. And I'm like, man, right away I was like, oh, that sounds great, man. I'm so glad I have a friend. And I kid you not, man, like, this is after I'd already disclosed to him that, yeah, I was like kind of stressed out. I had a kind of rough week and a bad driving day, and I just want to chill out. So he knows that I'm like, you know, agitated from driving. I get to his place, and as soon as I get to his place, you know what he does? He's like, hey, can you drive me to Scarborough? And just so you know, this is Friday afternoon. After telling this asshole that I'm fucking stressed out from driving, I get to his house, and the first thing he wants me to do is drive him to, literally to Scarborough on Friday rush hour, which, just so you know, is probably like an hour and a half away in one direction. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just, you see, this version of me would have just gotten back in my car and turned around and left. Right? Because it's like, what kind of a selfish pig does that? Somebody just told you they're all stressed out from driving, and now you're asking them to be your fucking taxi driver in rush hour? Like, that he would do this shit all the time. I got a million other stories, but, and I'll tell them to you on part two. But over time, you know what? Maybe I'll keep this going, this story going, and I'll have the denouement tomorrow, if you will, so you can tune in and find out what happened next. So, that was my friendship with the guy. You know, like, it started off good in high school. You know, it was kind of weird at times in undergrad. When I was an undergrad, I would invite him to do stuff and kind of regret it a little bit here and there. But I liked his company. He was a fun guy to talk to. He was fun in his own way, right? I can't just piss on everything. But then his own way was very selfish too. So when I invited him to come visit me in Mexico, you know, he ended up vomiting in my girlfriend's car at the time. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a good look. You know, things like that he would do. But after that, and we had a good time. Forget it. I'm not going to bash on Mexico. But in my last year of undergrad, and again, he wasn't in my undergrad program because, well, he wasn't even in school, frankly. I invited him, you know, I invited him on this trip to go to Miami for Y2K. And dude, he came with me and three of my other really close friends. We all went down to Miami. And I swear, man, by the end of the trip, by the second day, I wanted to fucking kill the guy. And actually, all of my friends were pissed with him because, we literally took a 32-hour bus ride. I'm never doing that again, by the way. A 32-hour bus ride from Ottawa to friggin' Miami Beach, South Beach. It took 32 hours. Can you believe that? And 32 hours later, we're there and we're staying at this hotel. I forget the name of it. It wasn't, man, it wasn't, I forget the name of it. I thought it wasn't the Banana Bungalow, but it was something like that. Anyway, it was in the Art Deco district. And, we were all staying in the same, I think we were staying in the same room. I'm pretty sure we were in the same room. And, the thing is, we're coming from Ottawa where we don't have much daylight. This is in the winter break, right? We don't have much daylight in the winter. Literally the sun comes up a little bit later and it goes down early, 5 o'clock. It's dark. And so, going from minus 50 Celsius in Ottawa, literally it was fucking minus 50 back then, to go to South Beach is fantastic. It's like warm. You want to maximize your time. I'm not pretending I'm some like earlier, let's get up at 6 a.m. and jog on the beach and do this and that and this and that and 100 million things and whatever. Like, I'm not that guy either. But when you're in a group, or fuck the group, like not even just the group thing, when you're in a new place and you only have 4 days, especially after spending 32 hours on a bus, you do want to maximize your time under the sun and not be in a hotel. And you want to maximize the hours that you have outside or whatever. And what would happen is, like, starting day one, everybody has to get ready. We're all sharing a bathroom. I think there were four of us. I could be wrong. I think there were either four or five of us. I could be wrong. I think maybe there were just four, but I don't recall. Like, we would all get ready, to just go out and hit the beach or go walk around or whatever. And Jason would still be sleeping. And that's fine. My opinion is this. Like, we don't all have to do everything together at the same time. Big deal, right? And so, the first day there, like that happened, we were all ready, and then he wants us to wait. And it's like while he gets ready. And the problem is, it takes him, even though he's a guy, it would take like that first day, I swear to God, it took him a fucking hour to get ready. Like, I don't know what people do, what some people are doing in a bathroom. But I can tell you, if you're traveling with me and I know you, there are three or four people waiting for me outside, I can be done in the bathroom, like, wash my face, have a shower, whatever, and get out. Probably within, I'll say a solid like 12 minutes, maybe 13 minutes. And that's without even rushing. And so I remember that first day. An hour. Nobody eating breakfast, kind of getting hungry. This guy's taking forever. We don't get out of that hotel room, I'm not fucking kidding you, till like 1 p.m. And that's not a deal breaker, right? Like, whatever. We'd not, we, although us as a group hadn't traveled before, at least we're in a new place. We're all enjoying each other's company. But you leave a hotel room at 1. The sun still sets early in the winter in Florida. We only had like 3 hours of daylight then, maybe four. So it's like, oh, okay. And I thought, and right away I was kind of getting to know how he was. Like with this guy, it was all about, okay, let's go here. We're doing what I want to do. And what right away I was getting pissed because he wasn't really close with my friends. He was my friend, but we were traveling with what were really my friends. And I think we were barely out done the first day when apparently he ran out of money again. And it's like, you ran out of money? We just got here. Here's an idea. Stop fucking smoking, asshole. You spent all your money on chain smoking, and then what? Like, you want to borrow money? Like, don't come. Why? Like, Here, for all of my friends listening out there, if you need to go on a, if you want to go on a vacation, don't go with people. Don't go with anybody if you have to ask them to borrow money when you get there. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So, you know, especially then when none of us were working, we're all in school. And that's how he always was, right? It was always asking people to borrow money. And I don't understand that. Like, I've known people like that, like maybe in high school. But to me, it's the most like low of the low, friends asking other people like that they barely know, like to borrow money from them. I don't know. I've never in my life done that, and I would never do it. I would just not even go, you know. So here he was, and I was getting pissed off with him on day one. I'm like, "You're so now what? We can't do certain things because you're out of money, or we're constrained. We have to constrain our finances because you don't have any finances." Notice a trend. And yeah, so what I ended up doing, I thought, you know, I smartened up real quick. So the next day, I got ready, and you know, I wanted to have breakfast. I didn't, you know, it was probably like, I don't know when I woke up, maybe 9, 9:30, you know, a couple of the other guys were ready, and this guy was still sleeping. And he's like, "Okay, guys, just wait for me. I'm gonna get ready." And I thought, as soon as he went into the bathroom, I told my friends, "You know what? I'm gonna go for a walk. I'll catch up with you guys later." And they're like, "Oh, you're leaving?" I'm like, "Yeah." You guys said you guys are welcome to join. I just want to go out. I want to go see the place, man. I don't want to just keep sitting in this hotel room. And I think one of them joined me, or I think one of them joined me. And it was so liberating just fucking going. I think that's why part of the reason a little part of the reason I travel alone these days in most circumstances. Because I don't like being held back by fucking people on my vacation. Especially wild card people. Like if it's somebody I know well, no problem. Well, even then it can be a problem. But I remember later I found out in the day, like you know, he was all apparently like he was mad at me. Not to my face, but he was upset that I had left instead of waiting for him. But I already saw what was happening. Like I wasn't going to do that again, right? But he was so incredibly selfish. You know, he'd probably do perfect here in LA, come to think of it. But he was so incredibly selfish that how dare I go and enjoy myself instead of sitting there like an obedient bitch in the hotel room waiting for him to get ready, right? Waiting for him to smoke his morning cigarette, morning being defined by 12 p.m., waiting for him to lose his contacts, waiting for him to, who knows what on earth he's doing for an hour in a fucking shower, right? And so, like he couldn't stand that I just did my own thing. And then like I don't know, just everything was like that, man. Like then he had this brilliant idea of like let's rent a Jeep and let's drive down to the Keys. And oh, I don't have any money, but yeah, let's do all these things. And it's like, man, we don't even have any time here. Like so of course we do the stupid idea of driving down to the Keys, and we literally drive. It's the dumbest thing in the world. We drive there. And it's dark, we drive back. Right, so it was just, anyways. So I decided after that I was gonna keep a bit of a distance from this guy. And there's been a few other incidents, but I'm gonna tell those to you tomorrow on the next episode. But I want you to keep these stories in mind because they're all building. So we went from meeting in high school, him trying to use me to sell things. Him trying to, you know, him leaving me waiting for hours on end to pick me up and not even giving a shit that he never picks me up. To, you know, wanting a whole group of people to wait for him while he gets ready for hours in a bathroom. To, you know, we'll keep going. To, you know, m making me drive, wanting me to drive halfway across the city when I was having a lot of anxiety, right? Because that's great medicine for anxiety. So here you're kind of seeing the trend with this guy. In those moments, it's hard to see a trend. A, I was naive. B, when you're in the moment and you don't have a historical database, you can't really see a trend because they're just happening over the course of years, here and there over the course of years. Retrospectively, it's so obvious. And so this is all leading up to something. Let's just put it this way. I'm going to tell you more stories and how this relationship ended, like finally kind of ended a couple of years ago. And I'm going to, tell you about a very curious Facebook message I received from him today, which I wasn't going to open because I thought it was a negative, but it ended up being a shocker. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And it actually plays into the whole law of attraction thing. So stay tuned as I talk more about my friendship with quote unquote Jason. So thanks for listening to Hardcore Rules, and I will talk to you motherfuckers on the next one.